This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Not normally do I take an overnight caller's opinion when I'm driving in and think maybe they had a point. But this one was interesting to me, and this is one of those many times where I have to defer to the man in the arena and the guy who is standing out there and might have been the best guy on the team and had to deal with guys that he didn't think were as good as him. So this is an interesting one. Last year, Juan Soto had who next to him in the lineup?
Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Yes.
Last year, Pete Alonso had a down year. Yes, down.
Yeah.
All right. The year prior to Juan Soto playing with Aaron Judge, he had Manny Machado behind him in the lineup. So this old school baseball guy calls up. Now, I'm not saying I totally agree with him or not. I just wanted to present this to you. He called up and said, I think Juan Soto didn't want to walk and put the game in the hands of Pete Alonso in that situation for two reasons. One, he's got the pressure on him to be the man. And two, he doesn't believe in him in the way that he believed in Manny Machado and Aaron Judge. And he ended up swinging at pitches he doesn't normally swing at because he thought he needed to. So it's interesting. And after the game, by the way, this is a part of the story too. After the game, Juan Soto came out straight ahead and said he was totally fine taking a walk in that situation because Pete Alonso is behind him and he's a home run hitter. But that doesn't necessarily mean what he's saying after the game is what he's thinking in the box.
Oh man, we are going deep into this one. I mean,
it's interesting to me from the standpoint of, is that even a possibility? Because you had been on teams like the New York Jets where you came here and you might have tried to do more than you needed to because you didn't trust your teammates all along. I'm just wondering, is that even a thing that athletes think about when they're one of the best player on a team?
If for some reason Pete Alonso wasn't behind him, and maybe it was Senger, right, the catcher,
yeah, right.
I could see that. I could understand that. I think it's the former as opposed to the latter. The former meaning that he wanted to be the hero, that he wanted to come through in a big spot. And I think that clouded his judgment. I could see that part of it.
Okay.
I don't see Juan Soto thinking that Pete Alonso is not going to come through. I do not see that part of it. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we talk about athletes who take the last shot, want to take the last shot, and we always talk about Michael Jordan wanting the last shot or Larry Bird wanting the last shot, but then again, LeBron James passing it off to a teammate because maybe he doesn't want the last shot, or maybe just LeBron's a good teammate and he wants to throw it to the open guy and let the guy make the last shot like he should because he gets paid to do that.
Yeah.
So I look at this and I say, Juan Soto got off to a good start. He got off to a really good start. But in this big spot in the ninth inning, he wanted to be the man. I could totally get on board with that. But not because Pete Alonso was behind him, but because he signed a $750 million contract and he wanted to go up there and he wanted to have the hit of the year to start the year.
Right. You know, I do think, though, that it, once again, if you're going, if you know that you're going to hit, then swing at the ball that's right over the plate that's hanging there. That's just the one thing.
Well, you know, that also tells me by not swinging at that pitch that he's thinking, you know, I'm going to do what normal baseball people do in this situation. The guy's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give him a break, and I'm going to take a pitch at 3-0, and I may work out a walk. So that tells me, again, that he's thinking like a real, like, this is what I should be doing in this particular situation. I'm going to take the pitch, and if I walk, I walk. But now, once that strike is thrown, things have changed.
Sure. Yeah.
And even Keith and Ronnie were talking about it, and he wants to be the hero, and he unfortunately got fooled by a slider in the dirt that was a ball 50 or 20 feet or 10 feet prior to even arriving at home plate. I think we all saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But it was fun to see him out there. It's fun to see the Soto shuffle in a Mets uniform. It's fun to see him get on base, even though I didn't see because of MLB streaming him get that single. You just know he's going to be on base all the time. And it's going to be rare.
He was on base three times yesterday.
Yeah, it's going to be rare to see him flailing at pitches like that. Well, didn't really flail because it was a check swing, but pitches like that, 3-2 in situations like that. So, but yeah, it was annoying the first week.
I would say this, if you are playing with a player that you want to help, like a young player, like say an Acuna Jr., I think that, you know, Juan Soto can have a great impact on that kid. And just talking to him every day, just keeping him focused, keeping him, you know, involved. It was nice to see Brett Beatty rooting for Acuna Jr. there in the ninth inning. That was great to see. So the team is together, it looks like. It doesn't look like there's any frayed edges. So it's one game, it's one situation, and I wouldn't make too big of a deal of it.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, and no, but this is what we've got from yesterday. After an entire offseason, you get to see the guys in a game that matters. So you want to talk about it. But, you know, Acuna's an interesting player to me because the stuff that, and I don't know if it was the day, it was Monday that this was, or a day that you were here with Francisco Lindor's comments on Acuna about how he's not focused in games that he doesn't believe matters. And that's something that he's got to work on, came flat out. Francisco Lindor is like, listen.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
Yeah, so, like, and that, I mean, that was interesting. And then just to kind of see him, and then once that throwing error happened, I've got such high expectations from him. So I was a little bit disappointed. And then he goes down 0-2 to Hader in the ninth, and I'm like, oh, man, this guy's going to strike out on three pitches after this. And then he has that at-bat. I'm like, okay, he's back. He's good.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. I mean, that was a great at-bat. But then again, Francisco Lindor is one of those players that he is the leader. He can say those things, albeit he has to say it, you know, I think a little bit better than that. But it probably had an impact on Luis, and hopefully that's going to be the case. You know, so the Mets are going to have this situation at second base, and they're also going to have the situation in center field. It's either going to be Taylor or Siri, and they're going to go be back and forth. So those two positions are going to be, I don't want to say unsettled, but they will be shared until somebody actually steps up and takes the position, if in fact that can happen this year.
Yeah, and it's good. And both of them are very, very good defenders, so it's not going to be about that. It's going to be which one of those guys is hitting more. That's what it's going to come down to. The Mets have decided that position, they're going to take whatever they can offensively from it, and they're going to have a great defensive center fielder.
I was thinking yesterday, I was going to text Ronnie. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
I said, Ronnie, you said 850 runs and 150 RBIs for Pete Alonso. We're not off to a good start.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that, too. I know. 850 runs. If they got shut out, that was going to be, I was waiting for you to actually put that out on X. and like tag
I didn't
him.
Want to do. I would never do that. But I mean, like I would text Ronnie that though.
Yeah, I know. But
I want to give it 20 games before I get haywire here.
You're a 20 games guy.
I'm not going to go Rico Bronya on you after one game.
No. I don't think that is what. That's what we're doing here. But yeah, I mean, it's when Ronnie comes out and says that, if you're going to get the jab in, you got that type of relationship with Ronnie, that's the time to do it.
Well, I'm going to give it 20 games.
Do you text Keith too?
Yeah.
Who
gets
more? He
doesn't get back to me as much. He's a little bit scatterbrained sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the texting back and forth.
So Ronnie gets more texts because he's more receptive to them?
Yeah, 100% receptive, and right in the middle of the inning, I'll get something from him.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah, I bet you Gary doesn't like to hear that.
He knows I'm watching.
I bet you Gary's like, oh, God. I mean, here goes Ronnie again texting during the game. I mean,
well, he knows who he's texting with.
I mean, come on. Do you think Gary Cohen likes you or doesn't like you?
I think he likes me.
When was the last time you had a conversation with Gary Cohen?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever had.
Yeah.
I've had it, you know, through those guys.
Like, tell Gary to...
No, I never say that, because Gary's the ultimate professional.
I would agree with that.
That's why, you know, the fact that, you know, he's a serious broadcaster. Mm-hmm. There's no gimmicky crap with him. And he's learned over 20 years to play the game with these two guys.
Yeah, he knows exactly what to do.
And that's why he's as good as he is, and that's why collectively they're as good as they are together.